I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And my guests today are Mike Ross and Bridget Lee Kalfas of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. They are going to announce their new season. And an exciting season it is, as always. In the second part of the show, we'll talk with David Schrader, conductor of the Danville Community Band, about some of their concerts this summer and things that they have been involved in as well. So have a nice show for you today, I believe, on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Michael Tilson Thomas, playing the introduction to Act One from the ballet Romeo and Juliet by Sergei Prokofiev, a ballet that I was pleased to have seen in performance at the Krannert Center last season by the Mark Morris Dance Group. And also, the San Francisco Symphony is going to be back at the Krannert Center this coming season. That was news to me, and it may well be news to you, because the thing was just announced, according to this press release, on the 8th of June. And the brochures haven't hit anybody's mailboxes yet, so we're scooping a lot of people here, we hope, on the new season. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and my guests today, Mike Ross, who is director of the Krannert Center, and Bridget Lee Kalfas, who is the public information director at the Krannert Center. Thanks, both of you, for coming in.
Thanks for the invite.
Mike, you first. Big overview. Big overview. What would you say to somebody who's never seen this season before, but has been to Krannert before?
Well, I would like to think that the new season coming up, which will kick off with the new guitar festival, will be a season that would not only delight someone who is familiar with what we've done at Krannert Center over the last few years, but also contain some very pleasant new surprises along the way. As always, classical music is a cornerstone of the presenting that we do at the Krannert Center, across the range from chamber music and keyboard artistry through big orchestras and great recitalists. The realm of jazz and blues and the art forms of modern dance and ballet and folk and traditional dance. New musical explorations. The realm of theater is beautifully represented this year with a spectacular project coming over from St. Petersburg. I think that there are lots of ways to enter into the new season, depending upon one's particular passionate interests. But there's a lot of room for exploration beyond those initial entry points, and we have worked hard to keep prices affordable. Lots of free events at the season coming up this year. We have numerous ways for people to get information about the new season, and I'd like for Bridget to maybe share a little bit of that right off the bat so people can maybe take a note or two and then come back to that later on. But I'm extremely, extremely pleased with the way the season came together, and as I said, starting the whole thing off with the guitar festival, which we have great delight in sharing a new name for the festival, and we maybe want to talk about that a little bit, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of joy and a lot of serious exploration along the way.
Okay, so Bridget, you had your introduction there. How, if people want more information, how do they go about it?
Well, we're very proud of our season publication that we put out every year, and that's going to be coming to the mailboxes of those already on our mailing list the first week of July. If you're not on that mailing list, you can call right now and get on it. The number is 217-333-6280. That's our ticket office line. They can get you set up on the mailing list. They can also answer any preliminary questions you might have about the season or the on-sale information. On July 16th at 10 a.m., tickets will go on sale, and at that time, you can purchase them by phone at that same number. You can send in your mail-in order form that will come with the brochure. You can get online at krannertcenter.com, or you can come and join us in person. It's actually a really exciting day to be at the center. Come and get in line, pick out your shows for the season, and get that order submitted right away. So a variety of ways to get involved.
So is the new season on the website yet?
It is. It actually went on the website yesterday. So if you visit krannertcenter.com and go to the performances link and then to the calendar link, you'll be able to page through the entire season.
Must have gotten there. Well, let's see. Because I just looked there, so it must have got there right after I looked. And I thought, because I wanted to know a few things already. And so that's great. Well, it's always exciting when I'm always curious to see what's the new brochure going to look like. And the last 2 years have been really spectacular. The mix of things has always amazed me, and I believe that's been a logo. It's all in the mix. I don't know, or a slogan that you have used in the past, and even the intro to the press release here, Indian Raga, Yiddish Hip Hop, which I'm very curious about, Irish Fiddling, Russian Ballet, Italian Arias, Contemporary Opera, Global Guitar, which you've mentioned, Urban Percussion, and what is Yiddish Hip Hop?
Well, that's a reference. And by the way, the phrase we've used from time to time, Kevin, is it's all about the mix. And
that was close.
That does, for us, mean something very important. It is not all cultural institutions are able to embrace in a full spectrum kind of way the range of artistry that their institution may be dedicated to, but we have felt very strongly at Krannert Center over the years that one of the most important things for the center to do is to introduce as wide a spectrum of artistic experiences, aesthetic experiences, cultural legacies, art forms as possible. And the center is a comprehensive facility, as you know, with four indoor theaters plus our Stage 5 lobby club style performance space in our amphitheater outside. There's a great capacity at Krannert Center to accommodate many different kinds of performing arts experiences. And so we feel a responsibility, in fact, to each season share a very large array, a very diverse array of experiences with people living in this region. And over the course of accumulation of seasons, it is our hope that people that come to Krannert Center with some frequency will have had their horizons expanded significantly and their thirst and curiosity increased with regard to exploring what the human imagination is capable of around the globe. So I also want to make a quick reference to the season publication, since you were so kind to compliment us on the last couple of years. The publication is on the press right now, and I just got a quick look at it in progress, and I'm very, very confident that it will provide your listeners with a very full sense of what will be happening over the course of the season at Krannert Center. And I can't wait for it to come off the press and get out into people's mailboxes. And, of course, people can always drop by the Krannert Center and pick one up, too, as soon as it's been delivered to the center. So please do, anybody that's out there that is interested in what's going on at Krannert Center, make sure you're on the mailing list or be checking the website. I think it'll help a lot.
Yeah, I'm looking at a photocopy of it here, which is all the more enticing just because it's this, you know, miserable black and white, and I assume it's going to be in color.
It will be in color, yes.
It looks great. It looks like a wonderfully diverse season as usual.
Kevin, I think I didn't answer your question, but I don't remember what the question was.
I don't know if I remember. That's fine. I mean, you gave us a lot of information, which is the point of having this conversation.
And you'll actually, Kevin, even be able to download a copy of the PDF of this brochure on the website. Probably around July 7th, we'll have that available. And that'll just be one other facet if you're interested. We are always looking at sustainability issues, and some people really prefer to have an electronic version as opposed to a hard copy. So that's just another option that people can employ in getting their information.
Sure, good. Well, let's have a sample of somebody who's coming. The Thad Jones Legacy Orchestra, or Vanguard Jazz Orchestra.
It's the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra. Yeah, one of the great, great, great institutions in the downtown Manhattan, New York City jazz scene. We are so pleased to be bringing this Grammy Award-winning big band to Kranert Center this season. So I think you're going to get a taste of a cut called Central Park North, which is a big band classic by now, and it's a part of the Thad Jones Mel Lewis legacy.
On Live and Local on FM 90.9. Vanguard Jazz Orchestra playing Thad Jones's Central Park North. And in the interest of time, we'll just say you've had that teaser. The Vanguard Jazz Orchestra going to be coming to the Kranert Center for the Performing Arts on the 10th of October in their new season, 7:30 p.m. They are a Grammy Award winner and much, much more, and just part of the excitement that is Kranert this coming season. As I said a minute ago, I'm looking at a copy of the brochure that hasn't hit mailboxes yet. It's not even off the press, but we're pleased to hear about it from Mike Ross, who's the director of the Kranert Center, and Bridget Lee Kalfas, who's head of public information. We just both, you remembered, Mike, what the question was that I had asked earlier, and I'm still intrigued, so let's answer it. What is Yiddish, what was it,
Yiddish hip-hop. That was a reference to a project called Abraham Inc., I-N-C, which is a beautiful cross-cultural project that is the sort of the collaborative brainchild of one of the greatest clarinet players of all time, David Krakauer, great classical clarinetist, but also a great klezmer clarinetist. And his project of a few years ago that we brought to Kranert Center, Klezmer Madness, was a huge hit. And we've been following with great glee what David's been up to. And this project is one in which he's collaborating with one of the all-time great R&B, funk, and soul musicians and artists, Fred Wesley, who was James Brown's music director, and with a number of other musicians. But this is a blending of klezmer music with R&B and funk and soul and hip-hop, a great, great infusion of hip-hop artistry through the musician called So-Called. And we guarantee a fantastically fun, life-affirming experience when these guys hit the stage this year. So that's Abraham Inc.
And I'm looking to see, Bridget, do you recall around when that's going to be?
I don't have that right in front of
we're
me.
We're just curious. We're flipping a bunch of pages here because this is all in draft form. Well, it's
that's
not
on
a draft
March 2nd,
at this point.
Actually.
March the 2nd, day before my birthday.
Oh, well.
And I love klezmer music. I'll have to be there.
Oh, you can't miss it, Kevin.
Seriously. They played the Apollo, for example, on James Brown, the anniversary of his death, and they said people were dancing in the aisles in the Apollo to klezmer music, of all things. So it really is a powerful experience that I think is really going to bring people together and unite them through music, as so often the case.
And I'm looking here just through the listing of all the things coming. As always, there's all of the producers at the School of Fine Arts at the University of Illinois. South Pacific they're doing this year, I see. Going back to musicals, they used to do one. The opera program used to do a musical once a year.
Yeah, I've got to say,
so that's
Kevin,
refreshing.
I think the departments of theater and dance and the School of Music and the opera program in the School of Music are doing a fabulous job of looking at what's going on in the world, how to provide their students with extraordinary performance opportunities, challenging those students with these opportunities. It's a huge sense of pride to watch these students walk out onto the stage. It takes a lot of courage, as you know, for a musician to bear, or an artist, a performer of any sort, to go out there and bear their soul and stand up in front of a discerning audience, even as maybe friendly an audience as it might be. It just takes enormous courage. And to watch these students develop as young artists in training through the mentorship and the education that they receive at the University of Illinois, it's a glorious experience to behold. So I'm glad that those pages of the new season publication are catching your eye. I think there's a lot of great stuff in there.
Oh yeah, and other resident producers like the Champaign-Urbana Symphony, Sinfonia da Camera, and I'm looking here. Joshua Bell is coming, which is great, and Merce Cunningham, who I thought was long gone, is 90, and I think that's what it says, Merce Cunningham at 90.
Nearly 90.
His dance company.
The name of the piece, he's actually turned 90 since he created the piece. It's an amazing testament to the capacity of the human mind and imagination to constantly reinvent itself and stay fresh. And I mean, if there's an argument to be made for keeping the mind stimulated to extend one's longevity, I think Merce Cunningham is just about as good an example as you can get.
It's a good thing that early retirement doesn't, or mandatory retirement doesn't apply to choreographers.
So true.
That's going to be on the 25th of September. And what else do I see here? There's the Ukrainian National Dance Company, Virsky.
Yeah, the Virsky, one of the grand folk and traditional dance companies out of the Russian and Eastern European tradition, fantastically colorful costuming, incredibly athletic movements on the part of both the men and the women in the company. It's just great fun and for all ages. Kevin, I wanted to mention that it's also a great pleasure this year to kick off our entire classical season with the opening of our Great Hall series performed by Nathan and Julie Gunn with their colleague Yvonne Redman. Nathan and Julie, as many of your listeners no doubt know, are residents of Champaign-Urbana and very enthusiastic residents of this community, and they're both also on the faculty now of the School of Music. And
As is Yvonne,
the newest, one of the newest faculty members in the school. And we invited Nathan and Julie to conjure up a program that they thought might be of interest to a broad array of classical music enthusiasts, but also a program that might be an interesting way for audience members who haven't tried classical music or maybe the operatic or vocal subset of classical music to come in and try. So they have put together an absolutely fascinating journey through song that from the 19th century to our time today that focuses on the many facets of love. And speaking of love, they've been married, I don't know for how many years, but they have five fabulous young children.
Yeah.
And they manage to keep a very, very, very successful performance career, international touring career going as well. So it'll be a great treat to open our entire classical season with them. And then follow that with just great orchestras and great other soloists. You mentioned Joshua Bell. Long will be the featured concerto soloist, piano concerto soloist, in a fantastic experience conducted by Eschenbach, the Schleswig-Holstein Orchestra, to close out the Great Hall series. We also are very pleased to be hosting Frederica von Stade on her farewell season tour.
She's retiring.
Wow. Flicka will be retiring at the end of the season, and what a joy that will be to have, and also to be presenting one of the great rising stars in the opera scene, Nicole Cabell. I'm just very excited about the whole classical music cluster that we are presenting this year.
Well, you should be. I mean, it's just looking through this whole brochure or pseudo brochure as I have in front of me. I'm sitting here thinking, as somebody who is a programmer also, you know, for orchestras and for radio, just getting all these people and dreaming up all these people is exciting to me, just looking through here and thinking, what a blast putting it together. Forget about even going to hear all this stuff, and which is going to be fantastic too. Since you mentioned Long and the Schleswig-Holstein Festival Orchestra, Christoph Eschenbach conducting, that's on the 10th of April. We have here, you brought along Long, the pianist, with Christoph Eschenbach conducting a different orchestra, the Orchestra of Paris, in a little Beethoven. Why don't we hear that?
That sounds like a great idea. I think you're going to do the rondo of the first concerto, maybe?
I'm going to do whatever I queued up, which is actually nothing. I better cue that up right now. Click, go. It's live and local on FM 90.9. Pianist Long performing with the Orchestra of Paris, led by Christoph Eschenbach, from the first of the piano concertos of Beethoven. That's the final movement, and I always love that piece. I always love all the Beethoven piano concertos and all the symphonies, and I've never heard Long live, but you can see and hear Long live in April of 2010. The end of the Great Hall Classical Series at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Those performers with a different orchestra, actually, same conductor, same pianist, on the 10th of April, part of their newly announced season, which you can peruse on their website, krannertcenter.com. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up, we have David Schrader, conductor of the Danville Municipal Band. We'll hear from him about some of their concerts and a little band music on the show as well. At 1:01, we have news headlines from NPR. Julie Amacher has classical music for you at 1:06. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Design Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan, Broadloom, and Rug dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. And the Krannert Center season starts with the big guitar festival, which has now become an every other year thing. What is the word? Biennial. Is that the right word?
It is indeed.
So you wanted to talk about the name. You've changed the name.
Yes, and thanks for letting us share this on the air in such this early wave of announcement about the new guitar festival. We realized when we started the festival in 2005, we've had two, in 2005 and 2007, this will be the third biennial coming up this September. On September 10th, it kicks off, in fact. But we realized as the festival began to gain national and international attention very quickly, the name of the festival was the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival. But we quickly came to realize that there are a lot of creative endeavors across the globe that incorporate the phrase wall-to-wall in their titles. And we gave this a lot of thought, and to avoid confusion and unintentional stepping on toes or whatever you might want to call it, we realized that there was an opportunity to rename the festival and actually bring it closer to the origin of Krannert Center itself. And we went back to the founding patrons of Krannert Center, Herman and Elnora Krannert. And Elnora Krannert's vision for Krannert Center was for it to be a place where people from all walks of life could come in and celebrate together in this vast lobby the joys of the arts. And so her philosophy, which captures so much of the essence of what we are about, seemed to ring so true. So the new name for the Guitar Festival is, in fact, Elnora, the Guitar Festival at Krannert Center. So there's a new website that's up right now live with all the artist listings. It's called ElnoraGuitarFestival.com, and that's Elnora with two L's, E-L-L-N-O-R-A, and ElnoraGuitarFestival.com. And if you click on there, you're going to be in for a real pleasant surprise, I believe.
And that's the 10th through the 12th of September. That kicks off the whole Krannert season. And it all looks incredibly exciting, Mike and Bridget.
Thank you, Kevin.
And I appreciate your coming in today. And I think people are going to be thrilled when they have a look and have the chance. What was the date, Bridget, when they can all line up in the lobby and get their tickets and then share the excitement?
Absolutely. Thursday, July 16th, starting at 10 a.m., tickets will be on sale. You can come join us in the lobby on Goodwin Avenue, of course. Get online at KrannertCenter.com or give us a call at 217-333-6280. And we'll look forward to taking your order as you decide your mix for the 09-10 season.
Spoken just like a public information director.
That was perfect, Bridget.
No coincidence.
Which she is. Bridget Lee Kalfas and Mike Ross, director of the Krannert Center, my guest today on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And a week from tomorrow, we'll be hearing from Barry Pearson, who's director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur. And they have an exciting season, which I haven't looked at. So we'll hear about other things going on. There are a number of major performing arts centers in our listening area, which is terrific.
It's fantastic.
So thanks again. And coming up, David Trader with the Danville Municipal Band. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. University of Illinois Symphonic Band led by James Keen playing a couple of excerpts from Leonard Bernstein's Candide, Glitter and Begay and Make Our Garden Grow on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I played that by way of introduction to the Danville Municipal Band, whose conductor is here, also the president of the board is here as well. We'll hear from them in just a moment here on Live and Local. Programs today are made possible in part with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to enjoy Krannert Uncorked, a weekly wine tasting almost every Thursday at 5 p.m. in the lobby. More information is at krannertcenter.com. I'll have a weather forecast for you coming up in about 20 minutes. First, a rundown of just a few other things that you can see beyond the ones we're mentioning on the show today. Tonight at 8 o'clock, it's Singing in the Rain at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. That performance continues Wednesday at 2 and 8, Thursday at 8 o'clock, Friday at 8, and Saturday at 4 and 8 o'clock. The Full Monty, the musical, is at the Station Theater in Urbana Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. That continues through the weekend as well. Some improv comedy by the Zoo Theater Company I think they just call themselves Zoo Improv, is at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. and the Angelus Bell Choir of Grace Methodist Church in Urbana, I believe they are, is performing at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at the Carl Clinic, their free noontime show on Thursday. That's in Urbana up on University Avenue. And those are just a few of the things that you can participate in. Coming up on Sunday night at 7:30, you could go and hear a concert of the Danville Municipal Band. That's at Lincoln Park. And I understand from talking to David Schrader, who is their director, that they just had their 69th anniversary concert this past Sunday. Congratulations and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. We appreciate being here.
And also Jesse Miller, who is president of the board of the Danville Municipal Band. 69 years. That's a long time
years.
To have a steady band.
Yes, it is. The band had its start in 1940 when the city council at that time put a quarter-cent band tax on the books, and that's how the cities funded it. And as time progressed, it rolled over into the Parks Department, and Department of Parks and Recreation now is the overseer of the city band. And we've been very fortunate that even in these tougher economic times, the city has been able to maintain the band. When you look at, I think we're at over $3-plus million budget for the city of Danville, and what the band gets is just a teeny tiny cog in that huge wheel. So, but it's been a source of entertainment for citizens in the area that, you know, they can come out and enjoy an evening of music, not have to pay an admission price to get in, and we hate to take a quality of life element such as the municipal band away, and the city fathers have seen fit to keep us around, so we're very privileged.
So is there still a tax that supports the band?
No, that went away in about the 70s. They stopped. The city government was restructured. I was just reading this in an old newspaper clipping, and the band's budget actually got cut quite a bit at the time, down from, I think it was like $35,000 down to like $25,000. So they stopped having uniforms and things like that. But yeah, it's no longer paid for by a tax. It's now just rolled into the entire city budget. And then they just budget the item for it.
Well, it's great that it's indeed supported by the city, hence the municipal band title,
right.
I guess.
There's not very many municipal bands around in the area anymore, because as I was searching through doing some other things, trying to look at how other bands do things, Springfield has one, which is quite old, and so is Danville's. Theirs are over 100 years old each, but that's about it.
I just put a schedule on my calendar that I don't seem to have on this copy in front of me. Is it a Peoria Municipal Band? Or there is a community band.
I believe Peoria has a community band and not a municipal band.
What's the difference?
Well, the municipal band, of course, is paid for by the city. The musicians are actually paid.
So that is a technical term, that you can only call yourself a municipal band.
I don't know if there's any specific, you know, legal jargon associated with it, but that's generally the difference between a municipal band and a community band, whereas the municipal band is actually paid for, at least in part, by the city or the county or however you want to have it. But a community band is usually – and I've been in both. I've played in community bands as well, and the community bands are just, you know, all volunteer and because the city can't or won't support them, or they're in a community so small. Like Milford used to have a community band, and it's a tiny, tiny town. So
you just taught me something. I didn't know that. And I'm now trying to remember there was a band in Hagerstown, Maryland that I used to play in when I was a kid, and I wonder which kind they were. But it was great to play in those concerts, and they had a band shell. Do you have a band shell?
Yes, we do.
At Lincoln Park?
Yes, we do. For a number of years, we had a huge concrete slab that we played on that, you know, they kept trying and trying to get the funding to have this shell built over it, and different designs were presented, and finally the money became available through some grants, and there's a band shell in a park down in Charleston that uses a similar design, although it's somewhat smaller. Because our stage is pretty large, and so it's kind of a domed shape affair that helps project the sound right out. We've had people for three or four blocks say they can hear the band while they're sitting on their front porch.
No kidding.
So it's kind of neat. It does a great job of projecting.
Yeah, having a shell is a big deal. Mm-hmm.
It made a big difference in the sound. I was going to say one other point. You know, the Fouch band that used to play in Champaign,
right,
was not a municipal band, although they did get paid, but it was a privately funded.
So you had to raise money for that band.
I don't know how they did it. I never played in that particular band. And actually, once I moved here and I got interested in playing in the band, the band disbanded. So,
too late.
Yeah. It was a little too late. But yeah, so we get paid by the city. And it's not a lot, you know.
Well, it's something.
For some of us, it's not even gas money. But, you know, that's not why most of us do it anyway. So.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, we'll talk about why most of you do it in just a minute. Let's hear a little music. This is... one of Dave Schrader, who's the conductor of the band, gave me a list of pieces that they're going to be playing at some point or have played. And this is a march from the Second Suite for Military Band by Gustav Holst. We're hearing the Cleveland Symphonic Wind, led by Fred Fennell, on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The opening march from the Second Suite for Band by Gustav Holst, Frederick Fennell leading the Cleveland Symphonic Winds. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up at 101, news headlines from National Public Radio. Julie Amacher in with more music at 106. And if you missed part of this program and or any program in the last several weeks, you can go to our website and find it in the archives under Live and Local with Kevin Kelly. Our web address is will.illinois.edu. And if you have events or musical organizations you'd like to tell us about or theatrical organizations, please write to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar at illinois.edu. So the music we just played by Gustav Holst is among the repertoire for the Danville Municipal Band. We're talking with the music director, David Schrader, and president of the board, Jesse Miller. David, I see that you are a graduate of the University of Illinois, so you have a fine pedigree.
1984.
And you've played in the Danville Symphony. What do you play?
I'm kind of a... utility man. I'll play piano or I'll help out in the percussion section. So,
and also director of the Vermilion Festival Chorus for a couple of years now.
That is correct. An ensemble I co-founded with Dr. Richard Zielinski a number of years ago. And we've been through a number of conductors, but during all that time I was the chorus accompanist. And when Larry Voorhees retired from being director, it was at a point in time where it was nearly impossible to find someone, and I kind of stepped in and said, "Well, I'll do it to get us through this next year." Well, I'm still doing it. So.
That's the way those things go.
You ever had those happen to you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're also an organist, theater organist.
Church organist, yes. I do a lot of that. I've driven to Indianapolis quite a bit to play theater organ because they're just, other than at the Virginia, there just aren't any of those around here. We've got one sitting in wait at the Fisher Theater in Danville. Hopefully we'll all live to see that venue restored and that
one can hope.
Installed.
So. Yeah, you refer to the Virginia Theater downtown Champaign.
Yes.
And Jesse, you play in the band.
Yes, I do.
And what do you play?
Well, I'm more of a one-trick pony. I play the saxophone. that's it. I play in the band. I, on occasion, if the symphony needs a a saxophone player for, like, if they're doing an Leroy Anderson piece or something like that that requires a saxophone, I'm on their short list, so I get called occasionally for that. And then I'm in the National Guard band in the Midwest up in Peoria.
Right. Well, then you both keep extremely busy. And those of you who aren't busy on Sunday nights and want something to do, are all these concerts on Sunday nights?
Yes, they are.
The next one is this coming Sunday at 7:30, designated as Dance Night.
Right. What we do on Dance Night is we pull out a lot of the tunes of the big band era, a few more contemporary things. We'll do some Stan Kenton and some other pieces that have been arranged for concert band, not necessarily just like jazz band ensemble pieces, but jazz standards that have been arranged for concert band.
And we played one of the pieces that's in your repertory earlier from one of Gustav Holst's suites. Is that coming up in a future concert, or did you play it in one of the recent ones?
Actually, we played that at our season opening concert a couple of weeks ago.
So. That was the 31st of May. And then Correct. You have the Danville Arts in the Park, which is always a big event. That's on the 28th.
That's a big weekend event. Lots of music and art displays and food vendors in the park. It's always a lot of fun. And the municipal band is the Sunday evening anchor or finale concert for that program.
And that'll be at what time?
That'll be at 7:30 also.
7:30. Is that Lincoln Park also?
That'll be at Lincoln Park, yes.
Well, gentlemen, we really appreciate your coming on the show. Wish we had a little more time to talk about the band and its history, but we've run out. But we will play another piece. This is actually an orchestral version of one of the pieces that is in your repertory as well. It's David Schrader, director of the Danville Municipal Band, Jesse Miller, president of the board. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
And good luck on the concerts.
Thank you.
Bugler's Holiday of Leroy Anderson here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Join us for another show tomorrow. This is WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville, W266 AF Urbana. We are listener-supported, the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois, broadcasting at 90.9 FM, 106.5 FM in Danville, and 101.1 FM in Champaign-Urbana.